We're already late, so let's get started. We are starting from right now tonight on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph 97A, towards the top of the page. Today's Daf is actually Daf 98 Tzadi Chet, but B'zad Hashem, we're playing catch up now. We're going to catch up to it. Okay? Today's class should be for the Refu'ah Shlema of all the Cholim, ובכללם חמדה ורחום החנדבן על המלך הנוכה ונפקס הרב הנומי של המסר עד אבינו מלכה יפה בת דבורה רבקה בן יוחד ורבקה בת הסר של המסר פרמנה משה בן חנה יפה בן מריה מדיבות אבן יפה חי וסכן הרבקה בן נכון סמך בן מנכה בן ירון ומסר בן חנה בן נכון ועצמי עשר פעד המסר בן נכון תאם לסס כמו נהיה חודם רמחה לשם בן נתה הרם בן יפה יוסף בן דבורה שם משם פנינה יוסף בן יפה דנה מדינה סמך בן נפר בן נכון ועצמי עשר פעד המסר בן נכון רחל בת דינה להבדיל לנשמת דוד מן אליהו מן יצחק ליד דמי נפיים רם השם נפרעי אליהו בן יוסף יצחק מן שלמה להבדיל לרעיון דבורה בת מרים רפואה שלמה נבת אלה בת מרים. Okay, we're continuing. We're on 97A towards the top of the page, about 10 lines from the top. About 15 lines from the top. Bao minei merav sheshat. He had a question from Rav Sheshet. Mocheret lemezonot, mao shetachzor v'titrof lektuba. If let's say she is selling the husband, part of the husband's estate, she is selling for mezonot, for support, can she go back and return to grab, to take that property back for her ketuba? That's the question. So the Gemara says, kamibay lehu b'derav Yosef. The question is essentially the question of Rav Yosef. Da'amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, armalta dezabin, if a widow sells, the guarantee is on the orphans. If the beitin sells the property, the guarantee is on the orphans. So the Gemara says, since the guarantee is on the orphans, the woman can go and take back from this property for her ketubah. Or Dilma, or perhaps Matzi Amrila, they can say to her, Nehida achrayut de'alma lo kabilati lavuch. Yeah, the guarantee of the world you didn't take upon yourself, they say this to the woman, but achrayut de'nafshech min lo kabule kabilat, but the guarantee of yourself did you not take upon yourself, meaning you yourself sold us this land. You can't come back and take this land as a ketubah. It's like playing games with us. So which one is it? Amar le tinitua, he said, we learned, mocheret veholechet ad kedei ketubah, ketubata. She can go and sell until she reaches the amount in the estate that's left for the ketubah. And then, v'semechla, shetikbe ketubata min ashar. Then that becomes her surety. That's what's left over. It's for her, and she can collect her ketubah from what's left over. But she cannot sell all of the estate. She has to leave over the amount of the ketubah. So what do we learn from this? Shema mina, shira in, lo shira lo. If, let's say, she left over in the husband's estate, she can use that as her ketubah. But if she didn't, she can not go and take away from the property she sold as her ketubah. The Gemara asks the question though. The Gemara says, "Vidilma etzat tova kamashmalan." We're in the middle of the page. Maybe it was just teaching you some good advice. Delo likrila hadarinata, so that it doesn't call her. Or, I don't know how to pronounce this word, so forgive me. Reniger, I think it is. Let's say somebody who she would be looked at as someone degrading, and she would not. No one would want to marry that type of woman. Like similar to what we had today's daf with regards to a glutton type of, but in this case a little bit different. But somebody who people would not want to marry. Okay, so maybe it was just telling you good advice that she shouldn't sell all of the property because nobody's going to want to marry her if she's someone like that. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, imken litni govak tu bata min ashar. Then it would have said she can collect. She collects her ketubah from what's left over in the estate. What did it say though? It said my semechla. What does it mean? The surety. This what you sure for you should leave this part over. Why did it need to state it in that way? So Shema Minah is coming to teach us shira in lo shira lo. If she left over from the estate she received, that she can use for a ketubah. If not, then she cannot go and take from the ketubah, from what she sold. Okay, this is the first part of the daf. Ibailahu, we have a halacha question. Zabin veloitz derichu le zuzei, hadre zabine, o lo hadre zabine. If let's say, she sold property, and it was a sale in order to use certain money for something. And then the money was not needed at the end. We didn't need the money at the end. Can you retract the sale or not? That's the question. So Tashma, we have a come and listen. Da'u Gavra, there was a person, Dazavin Ara le Rav Papa, he sold a property to Rav Papa, Ditzterichu le Zuzei le Mizban. Because, le Mizban Ture, he needed to use that money to go and buy oxes. Lasof, lo Ditzterichu le, at the end, he didn't end up needing the money. Ve'ahadre nihale Rav Papa, and Rav Papa returned the field back to him. He returned the property back to him. So what do you see? It sounds like from here you need to retract the sale. The Gemara says, Rafapa la'arei. Sorry, he returned back the property. So the Gemara says, Rafapa lifni mishurat ha'din hudavad. No, Rafapa was doing chesed. It wasn't necessarily obligated to do that. He didn't have to retract the sale, but he did it anyway. Tashma, we have a question. Da'ahu bat surta, da'ahu b'naharda. There was a famine that happened in the city of Naharda. Right, Batsoret, exactly. The Zabninu Kule Almalaf Denaihu. And everyone in the city seems like they were very wealthy. They all sold their mansions. Lasof Atu Chite, at the end, a boat came filled with wheat. They all got food. So Amar Luhur Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Dinahu Dehadre Av Denai Demaraihu. Really, according to the law, everyone's mansion should come back to them. But, so what do you see over there? That whenever it's a sale like that, and they don't end up needing the money, so what do you, the sale should really be retracted and it should go back to the owner. The Gemara says, no. Hatam Nami, over there also, Zavine Beta'ut Havu. Over there it was a sale with a mistake. It was a Mekach Ta'ut. How? The Iglai Milte, retroactively they realized, the Arba Be'akule Havakaima. The boat was waiting nearby. It wasn't that the boat wasn't there. The boat was right around there and it just hadn't gotten there yet. So, they didn't know the boat wasn't there, but had they known that, they wouldn't have sold it. So for sure over there, that's not similar to the previous case. This case is really a mekach ta'ut. So therefore for sure in this case, it's a retracting of sale. But in general, we still haven't answered our question. The Gemara says, Ihache, if that's the case, Hainu da'amar le Rami bar Shmuel or Rav Nachman. That would Rami bar Shmuel said to Rav Nachman. Imken, if you say this, Nimsen machshidan atid lavo. You're going to cause people to sin in the future. Meaning you're going to cause people to fail in the future. How so? How are you going to be machshir them atid lavo? Because in the future, what are people going to say? Let's look at Rashi. Let's see if there's a Rashi here. Here, Rashi says, "Di bay le zabuni karka lo imtzeu konim." If they want to sell their land, nobody's going to buy it. Why? Because people are going to say, "Hey, we can always say there was a boat there, and we get a refund. Let us refund our property that we sold to you." So nobody's going to want to buy the land. So therefore, that's why. If that's the case, we have this problem. The Gemara says, "Amar lehu, Amar le." He said back to him, "Atu kul yoma batsurta shechicha." Is there a famine that's common every single day? This was a one-time situation that was a famine. It doesn't happen every day. Amar le, actually, you're wrong. In batsurta b'naharda mishkach shechicha. In Naharda, a famine was very common. V'hilchetan halacha is zavin velo itzarichu leizuzei hadere zavine. If let's say someone sells the property, sells the land, and they needed the money, and then they end up not needing that money, they can refund and get their property back. That's the halacha. Okay, we're up to now in the Mishnah.
If you do that, people would not want to sell.
Nachon,
because it might not be a final sale.
Nachon. Okay, new Mishnah. Okay. It's actually interesting because if you take it, for example, take it into a practical day and age like Amazon, you buy something from Amazon, the seller knows that you have the opportunity to buy it, try it on, I don't like it, I'm returning it and get my refund back. So it's kind of similar to this case, what the halakha actually is, because I guess in the seller's perspective, especially on like websites like this, like Amazon Marketplace, like that, they're okay with selling it because they're making such big margins, they don't mind somebody returns, you get 10-15% return rate, it's not such a big deal. Okay, Mishnah. New Mishnah at the bottom of the page on 97A.
More money because now more people are
going to
come and buy, not
being sure. Nachon, nachon, nachon. Almana ben min ha'arusin, ben min ha'nisuin, mocheret. A widow, whether from engagement or from marriage, she can sell regardless if it's in the beitin or not. She does not have to be in a beitin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, min ha'nisuin mocheret. If it's from marriage, she became a widow. She can sell shelo bebeitin without going to the beitin. Mina erusin, but if it's from engagement, lo timkor elo bebeitin. She cannot sell her mezonot unless she cannot sell for mezonot unless she is in a beitin. Mipnei she'ein la mezonot, because she does not have mezonot. V'kol she'ein la mezonot, and any woman who does not receive support mezonot, like an engaged woman, lo timkor elo bebeitin. She's not allowed to sell unless she is in a court. Okay, so this is our Mishnah. We have a machloket if you can sell regardless when you're nasui, when you're married or engaged, or she can only sell the property from her husband's, from her late husband's estate if she was married, but not when she's engaged. So the Gemara says, "Bishlama mina nisuin." It makes sense from marriage, mishum mezoinen, because she's receiving support. We're flipping the amud. Since she's receiving support, she can obviously sell the husband's estate to receive support. Ela mina erusin, but if let's say from engagement, according to Tanna Kama, who said you're allowed to, Maita Ama, what's the reason? Why would you be allowed to sell for that support? You're not supposed to receive support. So Amar Ula says Mishum China. It's for favor. If you remember, we saw this earlier on Daf, I think Peidal and Amud Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Over there we said that in order for the women to feel comfortable to get married, and so that they don't say, oh, look, every time we want our support, we have to go to court and so on and so forth. So we, to find favor in their eyes, we allow them, even when they're engaged, to sell in order to receive support if they became a widow, so that they find favor, then all women will get married. And they won't say, I'm not going to marry, so I have to go to court.
So
instead,
the woman wants to get married more than the men, now you have to convince them?
Nachon, I said in a previous shiur, one of the Daf Yomis earlier, that nowadays, even though the Gemara says there's a common phrase that's "Ratzai Yisha Tav V'Tiflut Yoter Mitisha Kabino Prishut," that even though a woman prefers to have less to be with a husband rather than to have more, to be separated from a husband, nowadays I don't know necessarily if that's the case. And I said I had a story with recently somebody who they told me there was this person they went out with, and they said, I prefer not to even, I said, if it's between him and nobody, they said, I'd rather not get married. That's what the person said. I said, you're a tipesh. I said, that's not the correct mindset a Jew should have. But anyhow, I didn't tell them that, but that's what I thought. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, a person does not want that his wife get disgraced, embarrassed in a Beit Din. So that's why we don't make a girl who is a widow from engagement have to go to the Beit Din for her mezonot. So my Beinayu, what's the difference between these two opinions? So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, the difference between them, Gerusha, a divorced woman. The Gemara explains, Lemanda Amar Mishum China, according to the one who says because of favor, according to Ula, Gerushan Nami Bayachen, a divorced woman also deserves, she needs favor. So that according to him, it's the same law. Ela Lemanda Amar Lefi She'en Adam Rotzeh She'Tidbazeh Ishto BeBeit Din. But according to the one who says that a person does not want his wife to get disgraced in a Beit Din, Gerushan Lo Ichpat Le, he doesn't care about the divorced wife. Let her get disgraced in the Beit Din. So for a divorced wife, that one became he doesn't mind. The husband would not mind for her to have to go to the court in order to make such a sale. Right, exactly. He doesn't care for that type of woman. The Gemara says, "Tanan is from the Mishnah. Ugrusha lo timkor el beit din." A divorce. We're going to see. I think this is actually in the Mishnah at the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the Amud. A divorced woman should not sell unless she's in a beit din. So the Gemara says, "Bisham alamanda amar." It makes sense according to the opinion that says, "Lefisha en adam rotzen shetid baze ishto beit din." That a person does not want his wife to get disgraced in the beit din. Grusha lo ichpad. He doesn't care about a divorced woman, so let her go and have to sell it in the beit din because he doesn't care about her. According to the one who says, according to Ula, who says, Mishum China, that she needs to receive favor so she can get married, she wants to marry a man. Grusha Nami Baya Chen, a divorced woman also needs Chen. Right? Rashi says, if you look at the third Rashi, Dibon Matchil, Takanta de Mishum China, Shari Takana Chachamim Hi, Vilome Avata Ish. It does not depend on the love for the woman. It's a Takana of a man to the wife. So a woman deserves Chen. She deserves favor in order for her to want to get married. So a divorced woman also needs this Chen. So the Gemara says, "Hamani, who is the author here? Rabbi Shimon." It's following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, what's Rabbi Shimon's opinion? So Rabbi Shimon's opinion, he does not hold of this opinion of chen, that she needs favor. We don't care if the woman wants to get married or not. That's not what we're looking for. The Gemara says, "I Rabbi Shimon." If it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, "Hatanele Reisha." We taught in the beginning, the earlier part of the Mishnah. Mina Erusin Lotim Kor Bechule. We said if she's from a widow from engagement, she can only sell in the Beit Din. So why over there, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Rabbi Shimon, delayed lechina. He does not hold of the opinion of china. The gabe almana min erusin, because of a widow from engagement, nami mishum de lektuba kamizavna. She's also selling her ketubah. Amar lotim kor le beit din. Also in that case, it said she should not sell unless she is in a beit din. So if you say it's for chen, it's not only talking about chen over here. It's saying according to that opinion, she should not sell the estate unless she's in a court because of the beit din. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who already expounded, let's say, this principle that a woman is collecting who is collecting her ketubah in the beit din, why is it necessarily for him to teach in the next mishnah that we're going to see that a divorcee, a woman who is a gerusha, also has these rights only to ketubah, and she has to come in front of the court? Meaning, why does it need to mention the case of a gerusha? Sorry, I'm getting a phone call. Just don't want to ruin the recording. Okay, why does it need to mention the case of a gerusha, a divorcee, in the next mishnah? We're already stating it here in this mishnah. Why do you need to mention it twice? That's the question the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara says, Ma'udat Tema, I would have thought to say, Almana mina erusin, hu delo nafish chen, dida. A widow from engagement, she doesn't have so much chen. There's not so much chen by her because she never had relations. Aval girusha, but a divorced woman did not fish chen dida, that she had a lot of favor. She had relations with the husband. Emati bai chen. I would have thought to say that she requires chen. You need favor for that type of woman, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So that's why the Gemara needs to teach us, and the later Mishnah to teach us that no, even a girusha does not require chen. So the Gemara says, "Han nami tenina." We already learned that also. Kol she'ein la mezonot. We said that any woman does not have mezonot at the end of the previous Mishnah we just saw. She does not receive. She has to go to the Beit Din if she wants to sell the property. So the Gemara says, "La atuya mai." What was that coming to include? Lav la atuya girusha. Is that not coming to include a divorcee, which is basically repeating itself for the next Mishnah? The Gemara says, "No, lo la atuya migureshet ve'ina migureshet." It's coming to add a case of a woman who had a safek, a doubtful divorce. Kedir Bizera, like the opinion of Rabbi Zera. The Amar Rabbi Zera, kol makom shamru megureshet ve'ina megureshet. Anytime the Chamim say it's a safek if she's divorced or not, bal chayav b'mezonoteh. The husband is obligated to support her. Okay, so this is what he was referring to. Right, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kedir Bizera. The Amar bal chayav b'mezonoteh b'chayav. Ba'ashmanin ma'nitin dafka b'chayav. Only in his lifetime. Mishum de me'ukevet b'shvilo. Le'inase aval achar mita lo. The dina gerusha havu. Ve'en la mezonot. And Rashi continues, Yorshea, Yorshek tubata, Garsina, okay, v'chule. Okay, but he's saying it's really following the opinion of Rabbi Zera, and that's what he's saying. Saying that a husband who's, there's a safek divorce by the wife, he has to support her for her mezonot. Okay? Tashima. So what it was talking about when we said that anyone who has mezonot, she has to come to the Beit Din to sell the husband's estate, that was referring to a woman who has a safek megoresh, a safek divorce. Okay, Tashima. Keshem shemocheret shelo b'Beit Din, just like she sells not in the Beit Din, kach yorshea, yorshei ketubata, mocheret shelo b'Beit Din. So to her inheritors who inherit the ketubah can sell the estate even not in the Beit Din. Okay, Bisham Alamanda Amar makes sense according to the opinion. The Fisha En Adam Rotzeh Shetit Baza Ishto BeBeit Din. Person does not want his wife to get disgraced in the Beit Din. Ki Hechi Deihi Lo Nicha Le Detit Baze. Just like she is not okay with being, let's say, disgraced. Yorshea Nami Lo. Sorry. Just like he is not okay with her getting disgraced. The husband is not okay with his wife getting disgraced in the Beit Din. Yorshea Nami Lo Nicha Le Deli Bazu. Also, him, he is not okay with her inheritors getting disgraced either. So why don't we say the same thing? That the inheritors, why don't we say, this is the exact same rule, that he also is not okay with her inheritors. Right, meaning that's the explanation. Meaning, according to the one who says that a person does not want his wife to get embarrassed in the Beit Din, it makes sense because we're saying that the inheritors also don't have to go to the Beit Din. We don't want them to get embarrassed. But according to the one who says Mishum China, according to Ula, who says because of a favor, Yorshea Maichen Ika. What type of favor is there in the eyes for the inheritors? We don't care for them. We care for the woman, so she wants to get married, not for the inheritors. So the Gemara says, Tirgema, Ula explains, Kegon Shirasheta, Bita o Achota. Like one's daughter or one's sister inherits her, so then we do care, because they're also women that we want them to get married. We want them to want to marry, and so therefore we care for them, and we say that they need to get favor as well.
What okay. Are you saying? That is the traumatic experience to go to the court over there.
If we have to, if the woman knows that you're going to have to go to the court in order to sell the estate, it's going to become a little bit, you know, frightening, and then women are going to say, if I'm going to have to do that, I don't want to even get married altogether. And so therefore we say that we don't want to make women have to go through that. So just to recap on that point until the Mishnah, I think because we're doing two dapim, maybe we'll just do recaps as we're going tonight. So the recap on that, we had two opinions as to why, according to Tanakama, you can actually make, she has to go to the, she would not have to go to the Beit Din. One opinion was because of chen, because of favor. One opinion was because, no, we don't want her to get disgraced in the Beit Din. Okay? And then on the previous amud, just to go back on it, we were coming from a place of, okay, you know what? We'll come back to it whenever we finish. Okay, new Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Machra ketubata." If let's say a woman sells her ketubah, or miksata, or part of the ketubah, mashkena ketubata, or she gave it as like a collateral, or miksata, or part of the ketubah, natna ketubata leacher, she gave her ketubah to someone else, or miksata, or part of her ketubah, lo timkor et hashar, she cannot sell the remainder, ela bebeitin, unless she is in the Beit Din. The chachamim say, "Mocheret hi afilo arba'a v'chamisha pa'amim." She can even sell four or five times, meaning four or five periods, until she sells the whole ketubah. "Umocheret lemezonot," and she can sell for her mezonot, shelo bebeitin, even not in the beitin. "Vekotevet lemezonot," and she can write, "Lemezonot macharti," I sold this for my mezonot. Ugrusha, and this is what we were referencing to earlier, that a divorcee, lotim koyal bebetin, she can only sell in the betin. So this is why we were asking earlier, why did I need to state this? Right? This was a question that we had earlier. Okay, Gemara. Matnitin mani. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon. It's actually following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, as the Braita says, Machraktu bata. If she sells her ketubah, mashkenaktu bata, she gives her ketubah as collateral, or astaktu bata apotiki, or she gave her ketubah as apotiki. What's apotiki? Apo tehe kahe. What does that mean? This should be here for you to collect. Meaning to say, if she, let's say, took a field, and she's using a field that she is taken, let's say, as a collateral from somebody else, and she's using it to pay off her debt.
So you put a lien on it, so if there is nothing, then this is going to back it up? Is that what you want?
I have a property from somebody else that somebody gave me that in case they can't pay me back, for example, I keep this. This is like my security. I use this property to pay somebody off my debt. That's what apotiki is. So if somebody does that with their ketubah, exactly. She does not receive any mezonot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afal pi shelo machera, even if she does not sell, velo mashkena, she doesn't give us collateral, ketubata, ela mechitzita, she only did half of it. Ibda mezonotea, she loses her mezonot. So who is our Mishnah following? It's following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that it sounds like from Rabbi Shimon, that we don't say, miktzat kesef ke kol kesef, that part of the kesef is like all of the kesef. Meaning, once, here, look at Rashi says, machra ketubata, kula in la mezonot. Rabbi Meir, aval machra miktzata, yesh la mezonot. Rabbi Meir holds that if she sells all of the ketubah, then she has no more mezonot. But if she sold part of it, she still has mezonot. So, but Rabbi Shimon says, no, once you sell part of your ketubah, you lose all your mezonot. So this is the author of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, is that the case? Lememar de Rabbi Shimon Savar. Is that really to say that Rabbi Shimon holds, de lo amrina miktzat kesef ke kol kesef, that we don't say part of the kesef, part of the ketubah is like all of the ketubah, meaning if I still have part of my ketubah, I still deserve mezonot. He doesn't hold like that. V'Rabbanan sever and Rabbanan hold, amrina miksat kesef kol kesef, that we say that part of the ketubah is like the whole ketubah, and if I only gave part of my ketubah away, I still have mezonot. The Gemara says, ha'ipcha shaminanu. But we've heard the opposite opinion. The Tanya, the writer says, v'hu isha biftudeh ikach, I think it ends. Right? A kohen gadol can only take a virgin. So the Gemara says, Prat lebogeret shekalu betuleya divrei Rabbi Meir. That's excluding a woman who reached the age of 12 and a half, that her virginity has finished.
The betulim is not betulim.
Exactly. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirin. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, machshirin bebogeret. They actually say, a bogeret is kosher. What do you see over here? This is the opposite way around them. The earlier opinion, Rabbi Meir, who originally hold that we say, that we say, miktzata kesef kekola kesef, we say part of the ketubah, if you have part of it, it's like you have all of it and you still get mezonot. Over here he's saying that even if she has part of her betulim, it's not like you lose it. That's it. Once you lose part of your betulim, you lost it all. And Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar is saying, no, if you still have part of your betulim, it's as if you still have your whole betulim. So it flips the opinions around. So the Gemara says, hatam, over there in that case, bikra'e pligi. They're arguing on pesukim. They're not arguing on that. They're arguing on pesukim. Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir holds, when it says betula, afilu miksat betulim, even if she has part of her virginity. Betulea, when it says betulea, ad de'ika kulu, until she has all of it. And then it says betulim, actually, until she has the whole fraternity. And bivtulea, since it says bivtulea in the pasuk, meaning it could have said betula, it could have said betulim, and it said bivtulea. So that is coming to teach us, bekedarka in, shelokedarka lo. That only if it was done, the relations were done in the regular way, but if it's done in the non-regular way, then that would not be the case. Right? Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Sav, right? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon hold that betula, when it's, it could have said betula shlema mashma, that means complete betula. Betulea, it could have said betulea afilu miktzat betulim, that means even if she had part of her betulim. And then, afilu miktzat betulim, and then flipping the amun, biftulea, since it said biftulea, shiyu kol betulea kayamin. That means she has to have all of her betulim kayamin, bein bekedarka, bein shelo kedarka. Whether it's the regular way of relations, whether it's not, she has to have a complete betulim. Meaning to say, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon hold that as long as she didn't have relations, she's still considered a virgin, even if she is a bogeret. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, once she does not have her whole virginity, even if she didn't have relations, then she loses her status of virginity, she cannot marry the Kohen Gadol. But it's not that same machloket that we had earlier, it's not the machloket of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan that we said earlier, that we say miktat kesef ke kol hakesef. That's not machloket here, it's based on Pesukim. Hahi tita.
If she had relations to look at the kesef, she's asura lekohen gadol.
Yes, ben kedarka means to look at darka. Right. If she had relations anyway, she becomes asura to the kohen gadol. Asura. Okay. Hahi tita. There was a woman that tafsa kasadi kaspa biktubata. She grabbed a silver cup for her ketubah. Katava mezone, and she was now asking for mezonot. Atay lekame de Rava. They came in front of Rava. Amar lehu. So he said to the yatme, to the orphans, zilo havula mezonot. Go and give her a mezonot. Late dechash lahad Rabbi Shimon. Nobody worries about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The amar that he says lo amrinan miktzat kesef kekol hakesef, that we don't say part of the ketubah is like the whole ketubah. Meaning, nobody worries for that opinion. Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that once you say. He says we don't say miktzat kesef kol kesef. Meaning, once you give part of your ketubah, it's as if you gave it all, and therefore you don't get mezonot. We're not worried about that. Rather, once she got her ketubah, she got picked up a silver cup. She still gets to get mezonot. Shalach le Rabba berei de Rava le Rav Yosef. So Rabba asked a question to Rav Yosef in the hands of Rava. Mocheret shelo bebeitin tzricha shavua or ein tzricha shavua. If let's say a woman sells not in the beitin. Okay, does she need to swear or does she not need to swear? What is this referring to? If she's mocher shelo, what does that mean? What is this referring to? So if she sold and it wasn't in the beitin, does she need to swear that she never received? Meaning, she sold her husband's estate without consulting with the court, and does she need to swear that she received only this and she didn't receive more than what they're saying? Like they evaluate her and this is all what you received, or she does not need to swear? That's the question over here. Right, Rashi says shelo gavta yoter. She didn't collect more than this. Does she need to swear or not? V'tibayin lachachraza. So the Gemara says, why don't you ask about a proclamation? Do we need to make an announcement before she sells the property? That should be your question. Amar le, so he said back to him, hachraza lo kami bayali. I'm not asking about an announcement. Da'amar bizera, Rabbi Zera says, Amar Rav Nachman and Neymar Rav Nachman, almana shishama le'atma. If a widow evaluates for herself, lo asta velo klum. It's as if she did nothing. So the Gemara says, "Hechidame." What's that referring to? Id achruz. If it was announced, amai lo astav lo klum. Why is it as if she did nothing? They announced it out loud. What the value is of this property? So ela delo lav delo achruz. It must be that they didn't announce it. Ula atzma hu delo astav lo klum. And if since she evaluated it for herself, it's considered as if we don't look at it at all. Ha le acher. But if she evaluated the property of the husband's estate for someone else, masha ashta asta. What she did is done, meaning it counts. We would count it. So what do you see over here? So really, it does not matter. It's not going on the aspect of the announcement.
She is nogiat badavar.
Yeah, but she's evaluating it for somebody else.
So, but she's
yeah, but it's not for herself. So she's not taking it for herself. She's not taking it for herself. So that's over. The point of what it's trying to get to is saying, over here, it's not a matter of the announcement. Meaning, it's talking about you don't even have an announcement, and the difference is if it's for herself or not. If it's for herself, that's a problem. If it's not for herself, then it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, no, le'olam de'achruz. Really, what it's talking about is there was an announcement. U'de'amrila man shamlich. And they asked her, who evaluated this for you? And the Gemara says, kihai, like this example. De'ahu gavra, there was a person, de'afkidu gabe kista de'yatme. They left this coral wood, I guess it's some type of expensive wood, by the orphans with this person. Azal shamal linafshei barba me'azuzeh. He went and evaluated it, and he said it cost 400 zuz. These orphans, they gave me this item. It cost 400 zuz. Yakar, and then it went up, appreciated in value. Kam b'shit me'a, and it went up to 600. So atale kamei Rabbi Ami. He went to Rabbi Ami and he said, "Look, it went up to 600. Can I keep that for myself?" Amar lei. He said to them, "Man shamla." He said to him, "Man shamla. Who evaluated that for you?" So what do you see from that? That it matters. You can't evaluate it for yourself and then say, oh look, it appreciated in value and I take it for myself. And the Gemara says, V'hilchetan, the halakha at the end of the day is, Tzricha shevua, ve'inat tzricha achraza. You need to have a swear, and this is the maskana at the end, but you don't need to have an announcement. Meaning, she needs to swear that she does not collect more than what she's trying to sell, but she does not need to announce before she sells the property of her husband, her late husband, that I'm going to sell this. That's the end of this Gemara. Okay, new Mishnah. Almana shahita ktubata matayim. If a widow who had a 200 zuz ketubah, umachra shave manem matayim, and she sold her something worth 100 for 200, o shave matayim b'maneh, or something worth 200 for 100, nitkabla ketubata. It's as if she received the ketubah. She lost out. Okay, Hayita ktubata mane. If her ketubah was only 100, umachras shaveh mane v'dinar, and she sold something worth 101 b'mane for 100, machrab batel. That's considered nullified. The sale does not count because she took an extra dinar worth of the family's of the heir's property and she sold it. You can't take something worth 101 if you're only owed 100 and sell it for 100. So it doesn't count. Afilu hi omerit, even if she says achzir dinar liyorshin, I will return that one dinar back to the inheritors. Machera batel. It's considered nullified.
Why?
Okay, let's see. Rashbag omer. Rashbag says no. Leolam machra kayam. Rashbag says no. If she returns that one dinar, the sale counts. Ad shetehe sham kedei shetishayer basadeh bat tisha kabin. Until what's left over, meaning what was extra on top of what she owed, that what was sold was 9 kav. In a field. How much is a kav? So I tried to do the math on Chag. I had some extra time to do the math. A kav, every kav is approximately 417 square amot. Okay? So 9 kav would be about 3,750 square amot. Approximately. That's it's a very big, in a field, that's very large.
Would you come up with these measurements? Over Gina,
this is the amount of what is a very large amount. Your Rashi says, meaning once it's that size that has significance to them, they can say, we didn't want you to sell such a big extra amount from our property, so you can't do that. Right, so if it's 3750 square amot of a field, or of a gina bat chatzikav, if it's a garden, half of a kav, so if 9 kav is 3750, half of a kav is about 200 somewhat square amot. Uktivrei Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Beit Rova, 1/4 of a kav, which is about 100 and somewhat square amot. If that was left over from what she sold, meaning she wasn't owed that amount, and she sold, let's say she was owed 200, and she sold to something worth 200 plus 9 kav, or plus whatever we're talking about, 1 kav, or half of a kav, or 1/4 of a kav, all of those cases would be batel. But if it wasn't that amount, if it was less than that amount, Rabbi Shimon would say, it's not batel. Hayita ketubata 400 zuz, if her ketubah was 400 zuz, umachera laze b'maneh, and she sold one field to this person for 100. One for this person 100. One to this person. 3 people for 100 each. Ula acharon, and the 4th person, yafem maneh bedinar. She sold for, it was 101 bimaneh. It was worth 101. She sold it for 100. She tried to get 400, but what she took was 101. Over there also, shel acharon batel, v'shel kulan macharan kayam. The 4th one, since she took an extra 1 dinar, that 4th sale is batel, but the rest of the sales count. This is our Mishnah. Okay, Gemara. The Gemara comes and says, Mishnah shave matayim b'maneh. Why in the case of if she sold something worth 200 for 100 that she lost out, the Amrila, we say, at ifsad, we say, you lose out. But in the case of shave maneh b'matayim, if it was something that was 100, she sold it for 200, she got a nice deal. Nami tema ana arvachna. Why don't we say, she got the profit. Let her benefit from it. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, flipping the Amud, Kan Shina Rebbe, over here Rebbe taught, in our Mishnah, we learned from Rebbe, Hakol Lebal Hamaot. Everything goes to the owner of the coins. What is it referring to? So there's an interesting Gemara. If let's say somebody sends a messenger to the Shuk to go and buy some schora, some business, some merchandise. And when he was there, the messenger went and bought something for cheaper. So where does that extra money that he got a discount on go to? So Rebbe says it goes to the one who sent you. So over here also it goes to the person who sent you. And it does not go to you yourself. So that's why you can't take the money that if you take extra money, you can't make extra profit on something that doesn't belong to you, even though you got the discount, you got the extra 100. It goes back to the heirs.
Could she have come and say, I'm going to take this land and then sell it for profit? Probably yes. Because then she's the owner. If you would come and say, you owe me 200, I'm taking this character for 100.
Right, but that's not what she did. What she did is she took the property and she said, I'm selling this for my ketubah. If she said, I'm taking this as my ketubah, she could do whatever she wants. Yeah.
Right.
But she couldn't have taken that as her ketubah because it was worth 101 to begin with. She couldn't because it would be 401 versus 400. She can't do that. Kedatania, as the Braita says, Hosifu lo achat yetera. If let's say they added the guy from the store in the shuk added one thing, one piece of merchandise, hakol shaliach, everything goes to the messenger. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef says cholkin, they split it. The Gemara says v'hatanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef Omer hakol lebal hamaot. Rabbi Yosef says everything goes back to the owner, not to the. We don't split it. So Amar Rami Bar Chama lakashya, over here it's not difficult. Kan bedavar sheyesh lo kitzva, kan bedavar sheyesh lo kitzva. The difference is if it's something that has a limit to it or not, meaning something that has a fixed price, a set price. What does that mean? Amar Papa hilcheta da halacha is, and he explains it. Davar sheyesh lo kitzva, something that has a set price, cholkin. This is how you explain Rabbi Yossi's opinion. If something has a set price and the guy got an extra piece of merchandise, he would split it with the owner. The messenger would split it with the owner. Davar sheyesh lo kitzva, but something that does not have a set price, hakol lebal hamaot. Everything goes to the owner of the coins, meaning the person who sent you. What? Why is that the case? So look at Rashi. Rashi says that sheyesh lo kitzva kegon kitnit hanimkar bechanut b'mida malekli b'pruta im hosifu achat yetera cholkin dematana havai. When he gives one extra thing, since it's sold with a set price, the guy's saying, I'll throw you in an extra kitnit. I'll throw you in an extra lentil. It's a gift. So I'm giving you a gift. Extra tip, go split in between of you. Between you and the owner. But something that does not have a set price, I'll give you an extra shirt. Something like that, over there, he's not giving them as a gift. Rashi says, kegon talit v'chalok v'yerek anim karim ba'omet ba'amim mivater limkor. He gives something, he gives you extra, I mean, he's mivater to give you extra bezol. That, since the guy sent you, you're his messenger, he gave you as a cheaper price, it goes to him. You're buying with his money. So that all goes to the owner. So that would be the difference over here. If it's a set price, they split it. If it's not a set price, it goes to the owner. And the Gemara said, the Gemara asked, and we'll finish with this, why does the Gemara need to bring this halacha, hilcheta? Meaning, we just learned this. We said the difference between Rabbi Yosef is if it's a set price, it's split it. If it's not a set price, it goes to the owner. Why do you have to say that's the halacha? We know that. So the Gemara says, "Mai kamash malan." So the Gemara answers that the reason why it's teaching that, shinuya de shaninan shinuyahu. The resolution that you just brought between Rabbi Yossi is actually the resolution. Meaning to say that's the halacha at the end of the day. That if it's a set price and the messenger got extra, he splits it with the owner. If it's not a set price and the messenger got extra, it was given to him as like something extra that goes back to the owner because that was bought with the owner's money. Okay, I guess I'll try to, I mean we covered about two daf, but let's try to give a little bit of a recap. So we started on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. We were speaking about a case of if somebody, a woman, a widow who sells, let's say, her land, is it on the orphans? We said the orphans are a guarantee. So what does that mean? Is she allowed to go back and take the ketubah from that property? Or is she not allowed to go take back from that property? So we said that she has to leave over the amount value in the land and take the ketubah from the amount left over. She cannot sell the whole thing. Then we went to the Mishnah. We said we brought a machloket, if you have a widow from engagement or from marriage. So if we said if Tanakama holds that, she does not have to go and sell in the Beitin. But Rabbi Shimon says that no, if it's from engagement, she does have to sell in the Beitin. We asked on Tanakama why? On the Amud Bet, Sa'ad Design Amud Bet, we said two reasons why he allows the engagement, she doesn't have to sell in the Beitin. Answer number one, China. So that women have favor and they want to marry. Number two, so that they don't get disgraced in the Beitin. Then on the bottom of the page, we went to the new Mishnah. We said if she sells her ketubah or anything and anything of the like, or she sells part of it or something along those lines, she should not sell the remainder of it unless she's in a Beitin. That was the first opinion. And then Rabbi Shimon said that she's allowed to sell it even if she's not in the Beitin. Okay? And we said our Mishnah is really following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Then we flipped on the Tzadichet, which was really today's daf, and we got to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was really telling us about a widow who has a ketubah of 200 zuz, and she sells something worth 100 for 200, something worth 200 for 100. That's it. She loses whatever's there is there. Whereas Rabbi Shimon came and said that no, that Rashbag came and said that no, really. Tanakama said yeah, whatever she sold is sold. And then we had a case that if let's say she was owed 200. And she sold something worth 100. And then she sold something that was worth 101 for 100. That second one is not considered a sale. Whereas Rashbag said, no, she can actually return the dinar to the heirs. And that sale, that second sale would count as well. And the Gemara came down to come and say, why do we say by the case of a loss that we're okay with her losing, but by the case of a benefit, we don't let her profit? And we ended up by giving an answer on the Amud Bet that over here Rebbe says that the money always goes to the owner. So you can't take away from the heirs. That's where the money goes. So we brought the example of the case of a guy who sends a messenger to go and buy merchandise from the shuk. And we said that if, let's say, the money, something is given extra to the messenger, if it's given to him from something that has a set price, he splits it with the owner. If it's something that does not have a set price, it all goes back to the owner, because we assume that was the salesman was mevater and was giving that only for the person who was buying it, who's coming from the buyer's money, the owner himself. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'amen. Any questions?
Baruch.
Yeah, why did you give it to the messenger? The guy wanted to give him it.